We're delighted the Reverend Mrs. White are back with us from over in Scotland. We're glad to see them back. And Stephen's away preaching this morning. He was here earlier. Pray the Lord will bless him as he preaches in Belfast. We're going to open our Bibles at Hebrews 11 this morning. I'm going to mention Joseph, but it's Hebrews 11 passage we're going to look at, the three verses we read earlier. But let us, with our Bible open in Hebrews 11, look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this New Testament commentary on what we read about the family of Joseph in Genesis. We've read about Joseph, we've read about his father, we've read about his grandfather, and how all three were great men of faith. And they did something. So a great act by faith that was a blessing to their children and to their nation. And Lord, it's even a blessing to us today. Oh, we pray that we as a congregation, as individual believers, Lord, that we would be blessed by thee to be a blessing to others. So guide us in our thoughts this morning, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, many parents at this time of year, they're wondering, what are we going to get the children for Christmas? Here we've already got it. Grandparents there probably wondering, what are we going to get the grandchildren for Christmas? And some families have traditional gifts. We men receive socks and tie, traditional. Others have other traditional gifts. I was talking to a friend lately and I was surprised that they have a tradition same as our family. We always give one of our sons, maybe some of you never heard of these, the R. Willie books and the Bruins. It's sort of like a comic book from Scotland. And he gets that every year, even though he's a big lad now. It's family tradition. And there are traditional gifts that families get. I was young, an uncle who had a shop, always had a goose. We always got the goose. He always came Christmas Eve after the shop closed. And there are traditional gifts. I suppose we could say at Christmas has passed, we received very forgettable gifts. And then there are some gifts we received are memorable gifts. The boys and girls, don't you listen to this wee part. I remember when I was young, I don't know what age, 10, 11, 12, something like that, Christmas on a Sunday, and I remember I got a watch. And we went round to church, and you know, the whole time in the church, you know what I do? I kept looking at my watch. Oh, it's not a lovely watch. And I remember that. And a few wee digs. Don't we keep looking at your watch? And that's the first time I ever owned a watch. And that's a memorable gift I received that Christmas. Another Christmas Eve, we had a memorable gift of a son born on Christmas Eve. So I'm sure as you think of the past, there are traditional gifts, forgettable gifts, memorable gifts. But I'm going to speak about three fathers who give gifts. And these are spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Wonderful gifts. They're listed, the three men's names are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. And then 22, by faith Joseph. Three men who gave wonderful spiritual gifts to their children. These are patriarchs. Patriarch is another name for father, arch, a leader. These were leaders of their clan, of their group. And they gave gifts, wonderful gifts. Isaac gave it to his two sons. Jacob gave it to his sons and his grandsons. Joseph, he gave a gift to the whole nation of Israel. Three men. And you notice in these verses I've already read to you, chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 20, 21 and 22. It was by faith. And when the Holy Spirit lists in the New Testament the greatest act of faith that each of these men did, notice what he emphasizes. They blessed. They gave a gift to their children and to the nation. Isaac, what a great man he was. You know, he had battles over Wales, but that's not mentioned in Hebrews. Jacob had battles. You remember last week we read a bit that he took some of the land with his bow and spear. from the Amorite. He actually went out and fought hand to hand fighting. You say, well, we'll put that down for a great act of faith. Joseph, what acts of faith? We've been looking at Joseph's life for many months now. And you could think, look at his faith down in the pit, in the prison. What a great man of faith. But the Holy Spirit picks out this truth that they gave something to their children. And notice it was by faith, by faith, by faith. Now, you cannot have faith without a word from God. That's a very important thing to say. You see, some people today, they say, I have great faith. What they mean is wishful thinking. I hope so. That's not faith. We're told in Romans 10, verse 17, the classic verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is never blind faith. It's never wishful thinking. One little boy, they said, what's faith? It's trying to believe what isn't true. Well, that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is when you have a word from the Lord and you say, this is God has said this. I can believe it. And all these three men, they gave a blessing to their children and to the nation by faith in the word that God had given to them. That's very important when you read here, by faith, their great acts of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Isaac, he blessed Esau and Jacob. Jacob then, we're told, when he was a-dying, isn't this interesting, by the way? If you look at that verse again, verse 20, blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. When did he do that? When he thought he was dying. Now, he lived a long time after, but he thought he was dying. You can read about the blessing over in the early chapters of Genesis. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying. They still use that terminology in the southern states of America, a-dying. It means he was in the act of it. He was dying. But yet he strengthened himself to give a blessing. And that's in Genesis 48 and 49. And then 22, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died. These blessings are linked to their coming departure of this world. Now, we're not saying that during their life they didn't live to be a blessing. That's not what it means. It wasn't as if they just waited until the day of their death to give a blessing. No, we're to live our whole life to seek to be a blessing. But the emphasis is, when they knew they were departing from this world, or in Isaac's case, he thought he was at that time, but he lived longer. When they were coming to the end of their time on this earth, they said, there's something so vital, so important, so fundamental, I must strengthen myself before I leave this world to speak to my children. In Joseph's case, it was to the whole nation. I have to pass on the blessing of God to them. That's the emphasis here in these three verses. Something that is so, so important. I have to pass it on. I remember a year or two reading a book about it was actually a pastor's wife who contracted a terminal illness, and she wrote about her experiences, and she said this: all my life thus far, I've tried to teach my children how to live. Now I pray for God's grace to teach them how to die. What an amazing lady. What an amazing lady. Well, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they're teaching something. They're passing on a blessing. And of course, that reminds us, not that they waited to that time to do it, but they wanted to make sure the sons knew what's the most important in life, and they're giving a gift here. This is the greatest Christmas gifts we can give. Passing on, look, this is the most important thing, and for anyone who is a Christian parent, and for all of us in our sphere of life, whether you have children or don't, we all have an influence. So it's for you too. Don't say, well, I have no children, it's not for me. It's for all of us to have an influence. The most important thing that we can give a gift to other people is to bless them in the name of the Lord, and to be a blessing, and to give the gifts to them that these three men give. So let's look quickly at the gifts. Verse 20 then, first of all, Isaac, what gift did he give? Well, we're told in verse 20, we're told he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, away back, before the children were born, Isaac's wife gave birth to twin boys. And God came in Genesis 25 and 23 and told Rebekah and Isaac, listen, the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. In other words, and we can't go over it again, we talked about it some weeks ago, the younger is going to get the birthright. The younger son is going to get the blessing, not the older. Usually it was the oldest boy got the double portion. We know that the tribe of Joseph got the two portions in Israel centuries later. The younger, that is God's will. That is God's plan. Isaac, it's not going to be your oldest son. It's going to be your youngest son. And of course, he'll be in the line from which Messiah will come, the deliverer, the redeemer. Remember, Christ is involved in the blessing. It's not simply material blessing, it's spiritual. But Isaac was told the will of God. Told the will of God. Ah, but he had faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ah, but you see, the sad thing is this. When you get to Genesis 27, do you know what's happening? You know what's happening? Isaac has been disobedient. Isaac is not walking by faith as he should. Because Isaac loves Esau. That's his favourite. And Isaac is trying to give the blessing to Esau, but that wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will. Isaac says, but I want to pass the birthright and the blessing on thee. God had already told him. It's for Jacob. Now surely you know the story, what happened. Rebecca got involved. And she had the scheme. Remember, there was, of course, there's the mess of pottage, the birthright. Jacob tricked his brother in that. And then you have the mother saying, look, Jacob, you put on the animal skins and trick your dad into thinking you're Esau, and you go in. Now, Rebecca was wrong. God didn't need help to work out his plan. Rebecca was sinning when she did this. She was going about it the wrong way. She had lack of faith as well as Isaac. And you know what happened? The mother got involved with her favourite son to try and scheme. And she lost her son in the sense of his presence because he had to flee. She never saw him again as far as we know. You see, we need to give our children to the Lord and not try and scheme and plan, but leave them with the Lord to look after their lives. But you know what happened? Jacob came in, he pretended that Jacob was wrong in what he did, but he gets the blessing. And then if you look at verse 33 of Genesis 27, there's an amazing verse. Genesis 27, verse 33. You see, Esau comes in, and Esau comes and he says, where's my blessing, father? And Isaac realizes he's blessed the wrong son as far as he's concerned. As far as he's concerned. For in verse 32, I'm thy firstborn. Look at verse 33 of Genesis 27. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Why is he trembling? Well, if you read the context, I have no doubt why he's trembling. He's beginning to realize what he was doing. God has overruled my disobedience. I was wanting to disobey God's will. And instead of giving the blessing to Jacob, as I had been told before he was even born, that the younger is to get the blessing, I was going against God's will. I was going to go and do it, but God in his providence has stopped me. Yes, Jacob was wrong in tricking his father, but Isaac, he's trembling now when he realizes how close he got to going against God's will. Because listen, the most important thing in life for every one of us is this. What is success in life? To find God's will, to follow God's will, and to finish God's will. And Isaac's beginning to realize. And he's resigned to God's will. But look at verse 33 again. Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. What's Isaac saying to Esau? Esau, I've blessed Jacob, and it's not going to be changed. It's God's will. It's God's will. And I'm standing by God's will. I am not changing. And when you get to chapter 28 and verse 1, before Jacob leaves home, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of Canaan, and so on. Verse 3, and God Almighty bless thee, make thee free. Jacob, Isaac is now deliberately blessing him again. What's happening here? Isaac was going to try and step outside God's will, but God stops him and he trembles. And then he does bless Jacob deliberately. Blesses him. That's what he's mentioned for over in faith in Hebrews 11. It's by faith. Isaac brings Jacob in and says, Jacob, God Almighty be with you and bless you. Now, he also had a blessing for Esau. He brought Esau in. He said, Esau, you're going to be the father of a great nation. But the point I'm after this morning is this. In Hebrews 11:20, by faith, Isaac, he blessed both Jacob and Esau. How did Isaac bless them? By saying, sons, God has a will for your lives. Do you know one of the greatest gifts a Christian parent can give to the children? Is to show them by your life that you believe in God's will. Of course, practically that means you obey his commandments. So that as the children are growing up, they'll say, my parents believe in the will of God and his commandments, and they follow them. And to instill into our children that they'll say, my dad and mom taught me that God has a will for my life. And the most important thing is life. It's not simply academic, and it is important. Do your best in school, of course. Or professional qualifications or whatever. Those things are good, and we ought to give, even as Christian young people, you ought to give your diligence to those things. But the most important thing in life to teach our children is that I'll do the will of God. The will of God is the most important thing in life. And I believe Isaac to his two sons, they remembered, Dad taught us it's God's will. God's will. Are you doing God's will? It's God's will that you be saved. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Have you repented? Well, if you're not doing God's will, how can you teach other people the importance of doing God's will? Hebrews 11 for the second one, Jacob. Verse 21 in Hebrews 11. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. And now watch this little word. And worshipped. That's such an important one, isn't it? He worshipped. And we read about that last week. In Genesis 48 and verse 1, it says that Jacob was sick. Ill. The word actually means he was worn out. Of course, he was elderly, wasn't he? 147 years of age. And Joseph and Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, came and they told Jacob, your grandsons are here. And it says he strengthened himself in the bed and he sat on the edge of the bed and he leaned upon the head of the bed and then upon his staff. And there's a chapter in chapter 48. I'm not going to go through it. We read it last week, some of it. What did he do? He blessed Joseph and then he blessed his two grandsons. And in chapter 49, all 12 of his sons come and he has a word for each one of them. And it says he blessed them. In fact, of the grandsons, you'll find Jacob blessed them. Lord, bless the lads. It's about three or four times it's recorded. He blessed them. He blessed them. He blessed them. He blessed them. And he strengthened himself. And what did he do in chapter 48? Do you remember as we read it? He talked to the sons and he said, sons, grandsons, I remember when I came to Bethel, and he talked about how he wasn't a saved man at that time. But he put his head in the pillow and he saw the ladder. And the angel appeared to me. We saw that was Christ. It's not a created angel. Talked about that last week. That's Christ. Jacob saw the Savior. He saw the Savior at Bethel. Yes, he saw Christ appearing in human flesh centuries before he took a human body into permanent union with himself. Christ sometimes appeared, God the Son, not God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. You never read of them taking bodily form. But God the Son came and appeared to Jacob, and Jacob spoke with the Savior, the Redeemer, the angel, which redeemed me. He told the boys how he was redeemed. Don't we love to sing about redeemed, how I love to proclaim it? One of the greatest things you can do as Christian parents is to tell your children how you were saved and how the Lord has redeemed you. It's the greatest thing you can do to anybody. Be a blessing to people and tell you how you met Christ. Giving out the calendars, if you have an opportunity, tell them how you came, how Christ revealed himself to you. And you know Christ. It's not simply Christianity, a code of conduct, or a set of rules, or rituals. But you know Christ personally. That's what Jacob did. He worshipped. And he talked about the Almighty God. He lifted up God's greatness. He shepherded me. You remember last week, he shepherded me all my life. Oh, Jacob could tell his sons, you know, I went away like a strange sheep. I did things I shouldn't have done. I behaved, I lied. I wasn't what I ought to have been. But, oh, Almighty God, sons, he's wonderful, he's kept me. And he's faithful. You know, if the hymn had been written then, he would have got the sons and grandsons, or son and grandsons, to join in singing the verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, his picture Jacob singing that in the bed. It's lovely sometimes when people are sick to sing round the bed. I often have sat at bedsides of those who are near the end of life, and we all join in singing. Wonderful time. Wonderful time. And Jacob, what's he doing? He's worshipping. Telling the sons about the shepherd, about the Almighty, about the angel, the one who was there with him. He's naming Christ. He's naming Christ. And what did those sons, what gift did he give them? Those boys never forgot that when their father Jacob was departing from this world, remember he told them, I'm going to my family, to my friends and family. What he meant was he's going to be gathered to his people. Told his sons, I'm going to glory. And I'm worshipping the angel, the Almighty, my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. Remember, Jacob said it centuries before David said it. The Lord's my shepherd, sons. You know what the greatest gift we can give to our children is? That we worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. That our family that come after us and others will know that I had a mother and father, grandmother, whatever, or a friend. Don't have children. There are people that taught me to worship the Lord. Look at Hebrews 11. We'll come to the last one. Isaac blessed his children and gave them a great gift about the importance of the will of God. Verse 21, Jacob then, he gave a great gift to his children, a great spiritual gift of worshipping. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he's died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, it's not a strange one. He did it by faith. And that's what we read about over in Genesis chapter 50. Now, I did preach upon this a number of years ago, so we're not going to take a whole message on it. But you remember back in Genesis 50, we read it. Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones, that don't bury me in Egypt, but you keep my coffin. And in verse 24 of Genesis 50, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. He repeated again, verse 25, God shall surely visit you. So he's placed in a coffin. And it's amazing. For 400 years, there was a box. And Israelite children no doubt said, Father, why is that box kept? Oh, that's the bones of Joseph. But why is there not a funeral? No. Joseph said no. Because I want you to carry my coffin with you when you're going out of Egypt. when you're going to be redeemed. Now, remember we said, by faith, Joseph did this. What do you mean by faith? Where did he get the idea to do this? Was this just a dream that he had? Oh, it was wonderful. No, of course he didn't. He knew what his great-grandfather had been told by God in Genesis 15, that your descendants will go into a strange country for 400 years, and then I will bring them out. What I'm saying is, Joseph had a promise. Joseph had a promise. And that's why he did this strange thing, to remind them of the promises of God. And what was he saying to them by this? He was saying, listen, and he's speaking to the whole nation, not just to his family. But he was saying, he left a witness. That's the word I'm after. A witness. He left a witness of Christ's deliverance. You see, his bones said to the people, listen, God will bring you out. God will bring you out. And of course, 400 years they were delivered. Delivered. And then the next time you read of the bones of Joseph is over in the book of Exodus. And you read about it there in the book of Exodus 13 and 19 when Moses and the children of Israel went. Do you know what Moses carried with him? The coffin of Joseph. All the way through. God will bring you out of Egypt. God will bring you through the wilderness. Can you see what it's saying? Trust the Lord. The Lord will bring you out. He'll redeem you. He'll save you. And all the trials of this world and the pilgrimage of this life. Listen, sons and descendants and Israelites, God will bring you through. No matter the trial, God will bring you through. Ah, but then you read in the book of Joshua how the bones were buried. In Canaan, God will bring you out of the bondage of Egypt. That's a picture of salvation, been saved. God will bring you through the trials, and God will bring you into blessing. But you know, the bones of Joseph are a witness to us this morning. Not only spiritually, God will bring you out of the world to save you. God will bring you through the trials into a land of blessing. But one day, Joseph's bones are going to go up. They come out of Egypt. They went through the wilderness. They went into Canaan. But they're going to go up because one day the resurrection's coming. Remember, it used to be a song years ago, the ankle bone will join to the knee bone and the knee bone to the hip bone and so on. What's going to happen? Because that coffin of Joseph, Joseph's going to rise and he's going to have a new body, like unto Christ's body. And what witness did Joseph leave? He left a witness to the descendants and a witness to us today to trust in Christ, to be saved, and to realize that one day God is going to bring us up to glory. What three great gifts these three great men give to their children by faith. Isaac was telling his sons, most important thing to life is you put the will of God first. Do the will of God. Know the will of God in Scripture and do it. Do the will of God. Jacob told his children, oh, worship the Lord. I'm leaving you a gift. At the end of my life, yes, I wasn't all that I ought to be, and I failed and I sinned. But listen, I praise the Lord. I praise Him. Are you praising the Lord? Do the family know that you're somebody who loves the Lord and praises Him? That's a great gift to leave. Greatest gift you can give this Christmas. To tell people the will of God's most important. To tell them that you love the Lord and you want them to praise the Lord. And to leave a witness. A witness that you love Christ. A witness that you believe that one day there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And remember, let me repeat this. It's so important. Don't think these people lived away back then, Isaac, Jacob and Joseph, and they knew nothing about Christ. Of course they did. Now, he hadn't come yet. But they knew he was coming. And they believed the Savior was coming. And they believed God would send a deliverer who would save them from their sins. And Isaac was talking about the will of God in Christ. Jacob was talking about worshipping Christ. Joseph was a witness to Christ. So this is for us today. We can do the same things today that they did. You know, at the installation service on Friday night up at Ballymena, the moderator came and he preached upon 1 Peter 5 about the elders. And the verse 1 that talks a witness of the sufferings and of the glory that shall be revealed. And he pointed out forcibly, it was a great blessing to be there when he pointed out. And he said, you know, the teaching elder in the church, it's only one resource we have. What is it? To preach Christ. So that's, of course, what a mighty resource it is. And he encouraged the new installed minister that you have one message, you have one resource. Preach Christ crucified. Preach the sufferings of Christ on Calvary. And then preach the glory of Christ. There's nothing else. And he warned all our churches and the congregation. See, it's a charge to the congregation, the minister. And he warned what Paul said to Timothy about itching ears. And how you can want something novel. Want a novelty. Want something new. Want something sensational. Want something more entertaining. And that's what so many groups today go for. And he said, no. No. But that's when you heap up teachers having itching ears. In other words, teachers not teaching the truth. And he warned the young lad taking up his pastor, and of course all of us, Christ. That's the only message we have. It's the only message that Isaac relied upon, and Jacob and Joseph. The only message we rely upon today, Jesus Christ and the sufferings at Calvary and the glory that shall be revealed. But thank God there's power in that message. There's power in the gospel to save. Oh, remember what Jacob said in chapter 49 to his son Judah, the Lion of Judah. That's Christ. You know, Jacob talked about the Savior. Revelation 5, the Lion of Judah. It was Jacob first talked about that. He talked to Judah about no lawgiver shall come from you until Shiloh, the rest giver. That's Christ. He used poetic language to describe the blessing to Judah about the blood of the grape. Oh, that's prophetic of Christ's blood on Calvary. Oh, how we need to tell our children and the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we going to choose to be a blessing? It's a choice you make. Are we going to choose to be a blessing? There's a little hymn, make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Saviour, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. It's especially to the fathers here. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, but it's to all of us. You say, but I have no children. Joseph left it to the nation. Are we being a blessing? This Christmas, when we're thinking of the gifts we give, these are three gifts that are spiritual gifts, important gifts, to show people that we believe the will of God is the most important, and to pray for them, and maybe even say to them, you know, I'm longing that you will know and do the will of God in your life. So that's the most important thing, son or friend or whatever. Do the will of God. Be saved and walk with Him. Worship Him. Be a witness for Him. May God help us to give these gifts at this Christmas time.